1320 WILS. You know, many forget that Ronald Reagan actually ran twice for president before successfully becoming president. The very first one was 1968. My next guest writes a never-before-told story of Ronald Reagan's first attempt. The title of the book, Reagan's 1968 Dress Rehearsal, Ike, RFK, and Reagan's Emergence as a World Statesman. We're joined by Gene Copelson. Gene, great to have you here.
Thank you, Michael, very much.
Yeah, and what, in terms of the writing you've done in the past, how much does it focus on Ronald Reagan?
This is actually the first time I focused on Ronald Reagan, other than a article I wrote about how attractive he was to Hispanic voters when he ran for governor in 1966 in California. Hmm. But this is my first major work on Ronald Reagan.
Now, one of the interesting things about Ronald Reagan is he apparently had a close relationship with Dwight Eisenhower, right?
Correct. This is brand new research. Many of the Reagan insiders, if not all of them, were not aware of this. Both Reagan insiders from his administration when he was president, all the way back to the mid-1960s, the subject of my book, and those who were running his campaign at that time. I was not planning on writing anything about Eisenhower and Reagan. I didn't know about it. My main focus was about Reagan's first run for the presidency. But while doing some research, not far from you, really, in Abilene, Kansas, in the Midwest, at the Eisenhower Presidential Library, I ran across files and correspondence that no other historian has analyzed before, and I determined quite clearly from those, as well as all the audio tapes of Ronald Reagan's 1967 and 1968 press conferences and speeches away from California, that, in fact, behind the scenes, Dwight Eisenhower was Reagan's hidden political mentor.
And how is it they became in touch with each other?
Through a mutual friend, a golf buddy, his name was Freeman Gosden. He was radio's Amos and Andy, and he knew each of them. And in the summer of 1965, he calls Eisenhower saying, "Ike, I have another close friend who you know from television, actor Ronald Reagan. He's thinking of entering politics. What advice can you give him?" And the next day, Dwight Eisenhower wrote a six-point multi-step plan for Ronald Reagan to follow should he enter politics. Ronald Reagan followed those steps exactly. A few of those points were that he was advised to say in 1964 when Goldwater ran, Reagan fully supported the candidacy. But he also used, Eisenhower also several times in that letter used the term common sense, that he wanted Reagan to use common sense approaches to solve problems.
So
that became Reagan's campaign theme.
Was it mostly a writing correspondence they had? Or
they had four personal meetings, several of which lasted multiple hours. They had many phone chats as well as written communications, and this intermediary as well as other intermediaries communicated between them.
Other than common sense, can you give me a sense of what Eisenhower was advising him and what kind of a perspective he was giving him?
During 1966, when Reagan first ran for the governorship of California, Eisenhower advised him, mentored him really, on how to run his primary campaign, how to run his general election campaign, specific techniques, where to emphasize the campaign, discuss results of polling. Quite interestingly, two other things. Twice, Dwight Eisenhower advised candidate Reagan on how to fight false charges of being anti-Semitic. And also, of all
things, how did that come up, though? Was that something he was being charged with?
Correct. And this mutual friend brought it to Eisenhower's attention, and Eisenhower gives Reagan specific advice to hold a press conference, saying, planting a question in the audience, Governor Reagan or candidate Reagan, people have accused you of being anti-Semitic. What do you have to say for that? And Reagan then forcefully says, it's a false smear against me. It is absolutely not true. But also, of all things, Eisenhower actually advises Reagan on speech techniques during that campaign, and Reagan thanks him profusely for his advice. But then the emphasis changes when Reagan becomes governor-elect of California. Eisenhower then begins to mentor Reagan on world affairs, beginning at the hot-button issue of that era, Vietnam, but expanding into many other areas.
How did he influence his views on Vietnam?
They were the two major hawks on Vietnam. Lyndon Johnson, the Democratic president after John F. Kennedy's assassination, had placed American boots on the ground. He began that major escalation of policy. Eisenhower and Reagan said, if American forces are there, which they were, give them the tools to win the war. Mm-hmm. And one of the first pieces of advice was, don't slowly build up the troops. Have a massive initial show of force, just like Eisenhower had done for D-Day when he commanded the Allied forces. He didn't land piecemeal. He had a massive show of force, and that's what he had wanted Johnson to do.
How much of the war did Eisenhower actually see then before he passed away?
Eisenhower died in early 69, just after Nixon takes office. Mm-hmm. So most of the Vietnam War, he was not around to see.
I see. Talking, by the way, to Gene Kopelson, the brand new book, Reagan's 1968 Dress Rehearsal, about his first attempt to become president. Of course, Nixon won that nomination and presidency, right? So what did Reagan think about Nixon?
They had a reasonably close relationship at the very beginning of their career together, which began in 1947 when Nixon was on the House Un-American Activities Committee and Ronald Reagan was called as a witness. Mm-hmm. And they continued beyond that. In 1960, Ronald Reagan was still a Democrat when Nixon ran against Kennedy. He wanted to, he supported Nixon, but Nixon told him, I'd like you to remain a Democrat for Nixon. And then in 62, when Nixon runs for the governorship of California, similarly, Ronald Reagan campaigns for Nixon, but that's the point where he actually officially switches to being a Republican.
So
during
68,
they, of course, were each candidate's to be the GOP nominee.
Do they have a personal relationship then?
I wouldn't say it was a personal relationship. They did meet at a place called Bohemia Grove, north of San Francisco, a sort of a half outdoors, half indoors major political week of activities, mm-hmm. and they discussed a number of things related to the 68 campaign at that point. But interestingly, at that convention in Miami Beach, Nixon only wins in the wee hours of the morning when they get up to the letter W for Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and he only wins by 25 votes out of 1,333 cast. Many delegates mm-hmm. couldn't wait to vote for Reagan on the second ballot.
Really? So what is it that gave Nixon that slight edge at the end?
He had more support from the GOP insiders. Mm-hmm. Reagan's support came from grassroots activists across the country, many of whom I interview for my book, because Reagan concentrated on three critical primaries, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Oregon, mm-hmm. due to the way those were structured, whereas Nixon, of course, was the winner throughout that primary season, but Reagan's strength began to increase mm-hmm. and increase. He was the favorite son from California. He got all of those delegates. So he had developed a lot of support. And had Nixon been stopped on the first ballot, it's very likely that Reagan could have been nominated after that.
And what do you think the effect would have been had Reagan won the nomination and the presidency back in 68?
I think he would have pursued a completely different course in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. There were many other things that he and Eisenhower were pushing for.
He would have continued the war, you're saying?
Yes, but to win it, not with Johnson slow dithering, not being able to make decisions. He wanted to win the war. He knew that America couldn't stand, public opinion, that is, for a long, drawn-out war. He wanted to win it. Could he have defeated communism at that point? He was pushing for a lot of the same programs and ideals that he eventually achieved in 1980. But without other people such as Margaret Thatcher, Pope John Paul II, and a flexible Soviet leader like Gorbachev, those three did not exist in positions of power in 1969, 1970. So I don't think he could have accomplished all that eventually he did.
What did he, would you say, what did Reagan really learn from that loss in 1968?
He learned that he had to officially declare to be a candidate. He couldn't run a stealth campaign, which is what he did in 1968. Mm-hmm. But he also gained the knowledge of how to build up grassroots teams, teams of financial backers, and hiring the right people to help run his campaign. So he learned a lot of valuable lessons.
In the book, part of the title is, of course, the title of the book, Reagan's 1968 Dress Rehearsal, Ike, RFK, and Reagan's Emergence as a World Statesman. So how does Robert F. Kennedy fit into this?
Robert Kennedy, of all people, was actually Ronald Reagan's major political foe during this era. I'll give you two examples. When Reagan runs for governor, Robert Kennedy comes out to campaign for the Democrat, who's the father of the present California governor, Jerry Brown. That was Pat Edmund Brown. And Robert Kennedy, a fan of the liberal youth, comes to California, but instead of being greeted by signs, "Yay, Bobby," he was greeted by youngsters holding up signs, "Bobby, go home. We love Ronald Reagan. Go away." Mm-hmm. And I think he was shocked by that. That episode is not mentioned in any of the major RFK biographies. And of more importance, in 1967, when Reagan is running for the presidency, he has a debate on Vietnam with Robert Kennedy. Robert Kennedy expected to easily beat Ronald Reagan, but Reagan studied hard. He had just met Eisenhower for another meeting beforehand. He knew everything, all the facts about Vietnam. All Bobby did during the debate was stare and apologize for American policy. And all the analysts, even the left-wing media analysts and people from the RFK campaign, agreed that Ronald Reagan trounced Robert Kennedy.
Hey, you know, it's so personal nowadays, the politics. How personal was it, would you say, between the two of them?
Ronald Reagan always followed his 11th commandment. He never actually called his opponents by name, be they opponents for the nomination, that is his GOP opponents, or his opponents on the Democratic side. He was a gentleman. He never made it personal. He only attacked their policies.
Mm-hmm. Well, one last thing. So he lost in 68 and 76 also, right? That didn't work out. What was his plan? Do you know, was he really certainly going to run once again in 80?
Well, other historians have discussed what happens to him between his loss in 1976 against Gerald Ford versus 1980. But his campaign plans slowly developed. I'll just cite one example. In 1978, there was a lot of discussion about whether the Panama Canal should be returned to Panama. And Reagan was involved in a debate on that point. And he tells the debate panel about a plan that Eisenhower had to make the Panama and Suez Canals run by a multinational corporation. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Eisenhower told me that on the golf course back in the late 60s. It's just another example of Eisenhower's continuing influence on Ronald Reagan. But even in 1978, he was planning on running again.
Right. Well, what do you think kept him running after multiple losses?
He had firm goals for the nation. He was not a career politician. He entered politics like Eisenhower late in life. He didn't plan on going into politics, but he wanted small government. He wanted individual freedom. Those were two goals that he cherished, and he was deplored by the growth in the federal government that had begun under FDR and the loss of individual freedom when policies were determined by committees of elitists in Washington, D.C., who demanded that the rest of the nation follow their proclamations. He didn't like that at all.
Gene Kopelz in the brand-new book, Reagan's 1968 Dress Rehearsal, Ike, RFK, and Reagan's Emergence as a World Statesman. Where can people find you online, Gene?
Gene Kopelson, GeneKopelson.com. And my book, which is also in Kindle version, is at Amazon as well.
All right, GeneKopelson.com. Gene, thank you very much.
Mike, thank you so much, and thanks to your listeners.